these weeks, we read about the completion of the Mishkan. So who was the architect and the contractor of the Mishkan? It was Bezalel. We find an anomaly in the way the Pasuk introduces Bezalel. Usually when the Torah introduces a person by name, it mentions his name and his father's name. Yeshua ben In, Nachshon ben Aminadav. However, here with Bezalel, his lineage is traced all the way back to his grandfather, Chor. The Pasuk says, Re'ei Karasi b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. I have called upon Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chor, to do this task. So why did the Torah make an exception here? So who was Chor? Chor was the son of Miriam. He was the nephew of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen. Besides having great yichus, he was most famous for standing up against the mob. When Moshe ascended to Shemayim for 40 days, there was a group of people who wanted to create an eagle to replace Moshe, their missing leader. Chor objected and he openly opposed the idea. He took on the masses. Tragically, Chor was murdered. He paid the ultimate price. So why did Chor do it? Chor knew he was up against it. He was fighting a battle he could have not possibly won. It was an insurmountable task, but he wanted to do the right thing. Where did he learn this midah from? None other than from his mother Miriam and his grandmother Yocheved. The Gemara says in Masechet Soita, when Parah made the decree to throw all the male children into the Nile, Amram decided to divorce his wife. He said, L'shav anu amelin. This is an effort in futility. Why should we bring babies into this world? To be thrown into the Nile? So he divorced his wife. And the Gemara says that Amram was the god Ladar, and everybody followed suit and divorced their wives as well. Six-year-old Miriam confronted her father. She said, Abba, your decree is even more harsh than Paris. Paris' decree was only regarding the boys. Your decree includes the girls as well. Your decree is preventing any children from ever being conceived. So which father actually listens to their six-year-old daughter? So why did Miriam even make that statement? And the answer is because Miriam felt that that was the right thing to do. She rationalized, I will do mine. Whether I'm able to convince him, whether he accepts what I'm telling him, is not my business. The Gemara in Brachas uses the expression, Bahada kafsha derechman alamalach. Don't get involved in Hashem's business. Miriam felt that her father should not be playing God. You and all the people of generation should be married and bringing children into this world. Pare has a decree, Bahada kafsha derechman alamalach. This is saying, there's my business, your business, and God's business. Procreation, that's God's business. You do what's right and leave the rest up to Hashem. Yocheved, Miriam's mother, as the chief midwife in Mitzrayim, also defied Paris' decrees and brought Jewish life into the world. So just like his mother and his grandmother, Chor lived his life striving to do the right thing. He stood up to those who rebelled and created the eagle, even if it meant going against the consensus opinion, even if it meant putting his life in jeopardy. The Mishkan, as we know, atoned for the sin of the eagle. Hashem said, Chor, I will not forget your sacrifice. I will pay you back handsomely. When the Yidden will build the Mishkan, it will be built through your grandson Bezalel. And when I introduce him in the Torah, I will mention your name, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. So for all eternity, everyone will remember your Mesiras Nefesh, standing up for Kol Shamayim, standing up for what's right. There's a story told about a popular Jewish singer that was hired to sing by a wedding. He shows up to the wedding and he starts setting up his equipment. And he sees the caterer setting up the tables, but there's no mechitza. There was no divider between the men's section and the women's section. He approaches the mechutin, and the mechutin tells him there will be mixed seating by the wedding. And he says, I'm sorry, but I don't sing only if there's separate seating. But the mechutin insisted. He said, we hired you, and nowhere does it say in the contract that it must be a mechitza. He says, it didn't dawn on me that there would be mixed seating by a Jewish wedding. But the singer saw that the mechutin was adamant about not having a mechitza. So he tells the mechutin, if you set up a mechitza, I will sing for free. But that did not persuade him either. So he gives the mechutin an ultimatum. Set up a mechitza or I'm leaving. And the mechutin tells him, if you leave, I'll sue you for breach of contract. And the singer says, okay, sue me. And he leaves. 4 weeks later, the singer gets a letter in the mail. He's being sued for $10,000. And he decided not to challenge the lawsuit. He thought, if I put up a fight, they will probably try to soil my name, and the negative press will hurt my career. So he writes out a check for $10,000 and he mails it out to them. A year later, the singer gets a call from the young couple who got married that night. We want you to sing by our son's Pidyon HaBen. And he tells them, you know, I don't sing at mixed events. And the couple tells him, there will be a mechitza. They tell him, we were so inspired for your stand that you took at our wedding, standing up for your principles, that we decided to become more religious, and this will be the first simcha in our family which will have a mechitza. And the singer shows up to the Pidyon HaBen, and the couple approaches him, thank you for coming and enhancing our simcha. And they hand him a check for $20,000. $10,000 to cover the lawsuit, and we want to pay you $10,000 for tonight's event. $8,000 more than your asking price as a karas hatayf. So just like Chor, when someone stands up for what's right, when someone has mesiras nefesh v'koyt shemayim, they never lose out. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.